Are you thankful for our Emmanuel this morning? Amen. Would you stand? We'll continue with our song service. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Brother Branson, it's good to have you back with us. Would you open us in a word of prayer, please?
My anchor.
Thank you.
Again, we'll sing hymn number 198, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. Hymn number 198.
Joy unspeakable and full of glory. service. I'm going to go for you. That you do the talking as well as the giver. The gift in the heart and the blessing. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Separated, the breach was far too wide. But from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide. Left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. And there the cross, you paid the debt I owed, broke my chains, freed my soul, for the first time I had hope. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, it has washed me white. My place laid inside my tomb of sin. You were buried for 3 days, but then you walked right out again. And now death has no sting, and life has no end. For I have been transformed by the blood. Yeah. my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
We would stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 63. What a day that would be. Hymn number 63.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should. Sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. You would take your Bibles, turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Think about Brother Charles's song. It'd be hard to argue with any of it since it's all scripture. Amen. That's a good song. I like that. I like that. Would ask that you'd pray for us as we head to camp today. Many of you know camp is going to be a whole lot different than normal, and so we would appreciate your prayers, and I believe it's going to be an opportunity for God to do some great and mighty things in our midst, and I know that it's our desire. The whole reason we do camp is that he might be glorified, that we might take kids out from under the normal influences and kind of sequester them so that they can just hear from God. And so that's our goal. We want and ask that God would work in their lives and their hearts, that he might be glorified. I was just thinking this morning about lives that had been changed just by going to camp. And one of them that stands out to me is Tiffany Klim, you know, sat over here on the organ playing. Her daughter sang today. Her husband played the piano, and when she graduated high school, she was going to go to cosmetology school, and she went to camp. God dealt with her heart. She ended up at Heartland, and she ran into Mr. Aaron, tall, dark, and handsome, and the rest is history. They got married. They did go for a while to that forsaken country way down south, but Aaron got his heart right, I think, and they're in Jayhawk country, and so that's a blessing. But anyhow, camp is big. It's important. And so we ask that you would be praying for our campers. All right, let's go ahead and stand, and we'll read. You can follow along as I read Jude, verse number 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We're going to zero in today on verse number 3, and we're going to be thinking about this, what we are to contend for. Our theme has been in the book of Jude, contending for the faith, and today we will consider, what are we to contend for? Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for our time together here this morning. Lord, I pray and ask that I might just be a conduit to be used for your glory. Lord, that you would take me and just use me as a mouthpiece. And Lord, that you might be honored and glorified through each and everything that proceeds out of my mouth. Help me to remember those things that are necessary and important. Forget those things that are not. Lord, we'd ask for a working of the Holy Spirit in our midst. In each and every life that's here today, Lord, we know that you have something for us. And we want to hear from you. We'd ask that you would speak to us, that you might be glorified. And Lord, if there be one here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, our prayer is that today they might come to that saving knowledge of Jesus. Thank you for this time together and to be in your house, to hold your word. We ask these things in your precious and most holy name. And all the people said, amen. You may be seated. And so, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So we find Jude here writing. He's trying to encourage the people. He's trying to encourage them to keep on keeping on, to do more for the Lord and not less. And I think it's very applicable to us today here in 2022. You know, our country's in moral chaos. Our country is in physical chaos. You know, there's just everything around us is in chaos. And it's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to be more concerned about the economy than it is about thus saith the Lord. It's more easy. It's easier for us to be concerned about, you know, where my next paycheck's going to come from, or how am I going to buy my next car, or how am I going to do this, how am I going to do that. When in reality, we must be mindful as children of God that God has a responsibility for us, even in the midst of all this chaos, and that is that we might hold forth the truth and the light of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Listen, in the next few months, I think this world's going to need Jesus more than ever before. I'm not a predictor. Maybe I listen to too many people on YouTube, but the future to me is not bright, okay? It's very gloomy. And so what is going to be the hope for a world that's placed all their hope in the world economy, in the world system? What's going to be that hope? Well, it's the same thing that should be their hope today, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only hope for this world. I'm thankful that, first of all, I'm not going to probably get out of this world alive unless I go in the rapture. And if I don't get out of this world alive, it's okay, because I'm going to be with Jesus. And it's okay if I get out of here in the rapture. That's really my preference. I would like to go that way, because I've always been excited riding rides like the detonator and things like that, and getting jerked off the ground suddenly would be just super cool, I would think. And to be called into the presence of God would just be super exciting. Just walking along, going through life, and boom, I'm in his presence. How wonderful that day will be. I'm looking forward to that day. If that would be the way that God would want me to go, I'm excited about that opportunity to go to be in his presence. Either way, I can't wait to see him. There's nothing here to anchor me, to keep me. I know that my loved ones are saved. I know that they're on their way to heaven. And I know that if God calls us, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing to be in his presence. So he said, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That word common salvation just kind of threw me a little bit until I stopped to think about it a little more. And a common salvation that Jude is writing about to remind the people of is their salvation, okay? isn't it good? Brother Steve did a great job in Sunday school class today talking about salvation. That salvation's not set up for one ethnic group or one religious class, but salvation is for all mankind. And Jude is writing to the people here to remind them of the common salvation. The salvation that there's only one way of salvation. Anyone going to heaven will go that one way. There's no other way. There's no side around. There's no sneak in the back. There's no, oh, you get special privileges. You get to move to the front of the line. When we talk about salvation, it's a common salvation. Hallelujah. It's a common salvation. And Jude was diligent because of the importance of a proper understanding and salvation was necessary. It was necessary. He wanted to remind these people, look, this is important. The common salvation is important. And you need to make sure that you're saved. I can't do it for you. If I would, I'd come down and I'd stand in however near you or whatever, I'd put a hand on you and pray over you so that you could get saved. But I can't do that. It's a common salvation. So everybody's going to get saved the same way. It doesn't matter if your dad's the preacher, if your wife's the piano, or your mom's the piano player. It doesn't matter. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not getting saved. All mankind needs to get saved the same way. And aren't you glad it's not some secret formula that only rich people can buy and then they can be saved? Man, I'm so glad that it's so easy that us poor people can get saved, that us ordinary people can get saved. I'm thankful that it's something that all mankind can be saved. Matter of fact, John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. When we think of this common salvation, we realize that we must come in childlike faith. Man, I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that these young men right here can know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm thankful that we can go out in our children's church area and we can see the 8, 9, 6, and 7 years olds that if the Holy Spirit would lead in their lives, that they too could come to the point of salvation, know Christ as their own Savior. It's a childlike faith. We need to, first of all, remember that we need to admit that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one's going to get to heaven and say, oh, no, I wasn't a sinner. No, we're all born into this world sinners. We're the sin nature's placed upon us. And the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior because of the sin that we carry in our life. The second thing that we need to realize is that sin leads to eternal death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin is death. Without Jesus Christ, sin leads to death. We're not talking about just dying. We're talking about eternal death. We're talking about dying forever. So what happens is that we tend to think in small terms, but God thinks in big terms. We think about, well, I'm going to die, and you know, eventually, if God tarries his coming, I might die. And so if I die, make sure that they sing that, what a day that'll be, okay? You make sure that they sing that. But if I die, it's okay, because I know that I'm not going to die eternally. Those without Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, when they die eternally. You go to the book of Revelations, you read about the great white throne judgment, and you'll find that there it is, that there's going to be this eternal judgment, and then people will be cast into all eternity into the lake of fire. Forever and ever they will be there. That will be their home for all of eternity. I love Romans 6:23, and I don't know how many times I've said this and will continue to say it, and I love that conjunction, but. If it wasn't for that conjunction, the hope for all mankind would be amiss. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and there shed his blood that heaven might be our eternal home. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ came, the willing sacrifice from God to pay our sin debt, that we no longer have to to fear death and eternal death and death, just a continual dying. But with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he gives us eternal life. So we have the opposite of eternal death with eternal life. And Jesus has purchased that for us. I'm thankful for God's love. In Romans 5:8, we read, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then we need to realize that it becomes a decision we must make. Romans 10:9-10, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made to salvation. We're not going to get there because we're good looking. We're not going to get there because we're rich. We're not going to get there because we've been baptized 30 different times in 20 different churches. We're not going to get there because of a lineage or a heritage or anything else. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's a common salvation. The second thing that we notice here today is that we need to contend. It says, beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. So I kind of take this that Jude's writing along and he's thinking, man, I need to write these guys and remind them of the common salvation that they have, that the people need to be saved. They need to continue to reach out to a lost and dying world that people might be saved. And kind of as he writes that, he said, I gave all diligence to write into you of the common salvation. Then we get this common. It was needful for me to write into you. He says, it's needful for me to remind you. So remember, we're applying this today, right? 2022. It's still needful to be reminded of the fact that people need to get saved. And if we don't do our part in winning them to Jesus Christ, who's going to? Who's going to give them the hope? Who's going to let them know that, hey, there is a bright future ahead? This world is not our home. We're just passing through, and we want you to come with us. He goes on and he says here, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That word contend there, I went and looked it up, says means to strive, to use earnest efforts to obtain or to defend and preserve. And so we are to contend. It doesn't leave me with the idea that this is contending. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Oh, look at that program. Oh, boy, I really like my sport. Yeah. Sorry, those of you over here can't see me. I'm watching TV. That's not contending, is it? It's not contending when I'm more worried about the things that I want to do rather than if my neighbor knows Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's not contending if I'm more worried about going to the store and getting through it in a hurry and getting out of there and keeping my wife from spending all my money and don't take time to share Jesus Christ with maybe the cart guy. Take a track and just simply give a track. Hey, here's a track I want to share with you. By the way, we've got some new tracks. Look at that one. That's a new one. The gospel.
Then we got
another new track. You're invited. Two new tracks.
And we've got our old standby track right here.
You got three options to give people. How exciting. You can give them one. And the next time you see them, you can give them another one. And the next time you see them, you can give them another one. And they haven't seen the same one. But they still get them. These are some of the most valuable tools that we have at our arsenal. So easy to use, so simple, that even a Boy Scout could use them. What a wonderful thing to have these little tracks to be able to use to just share with someone about Jesus. Maybe you're not comfortable in talking to somebody about their need for the Lord, but you could take a track and give it to them. Hey, let me tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It's found right here. Would you take this and read it? I mean, these things are invaluable. And the problem is that we, if we're not careful, we become so consumed with all that's going on, we forget that Jude is saying you need to earnestly contend for the faith. Now wait just a minute. All those years ago, when Jude wrote this, it was important then. There was earnestness. There was, I don't want to use the word excitement, but there was a great need to contend for the faith. All those years ago when he wrote it, he was telling them, look, you need to pay attention. Look, you need to contend for the faith. I don't have time. I can just see it. That's what happened in his day too. I don't have time. I've got my hair appointment. I got my nails appointment. And the ladies are like, yeah, I've got to go shopping. And you know, and the guys are like, well, I'm going to go fishing, and I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to do that. Listen, there is a need for us to share the gospel now more than ever. Amen. More than ever. I would dare submit to you that less of the world knows about Jesus than they did in the day that Jude wrote this. There's less missionaries on the field. We've just witnessed it since COVID. There was a great flux of missionaries that have come off the field and taken churches in America. There were a great flux of missionaries that went to meet God as their Savior. There's a great number of preachers who have gone to meet God as their Savior because of COVID and other things. They have died. They have gone to heaven. And I'm just telling you that the ranks are getting smaller and smaller, and the need is getting greater and greater. You know, you can never take the gospel to the wrong address. I don't know how many times we've done block work, and I've gone out with a flyer or something and knock on someone's door and begin to witness to them about the Lord, talk about inviting them to church. And they go, oh, hey, you don't have to do that. We already know that we're saved. We're going to pray that you have good success today. Man, that encourages me. Then you go to the door of someone who needs to get saved, and they take that and they go, oh, okay, yeah, I'll read it. And maybe if God opens the door, you can talk a little bit more with them about the gospel and their need of a Savior. But I'm telling you, you never take the gospel to the wrong place, because all the world needs to hear. And everyone needs to be reminded, those that are children of God, need to be reminded of the fact that this is our job. Amen. To contend. Not just contend, but earnestly contend. Get excited about it. This is something that needs to be done. People need to hear about Jesus. I'm not going to sit at home and watch TV when I can walk across the street and share with my neighbor the good news of Jesus. So he said, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you would earnestly contend, because this is a battle worth fighting. That word earnestly is kind of a neat little adverb. I can't help it. Webster's 1828, he says this. He says, warmly. And then there's a comma. And I'm like, what do you mean warmly? No one talks like that anymore. So I had to go look up warmly, right? Warmly means with gentle heat. Okay. I'm going to drag that into spiritual realm with gentle heat. So right now, I'm like really getting hot. No, I mean it. I'm really getting hot because I'm using some excitement as I preach. And so I'm thinking warmly means you don't have to be that hot, but you ought to be warm, not cold. How about not dead? We need to warmly, zealously, eagerly, with real desire, present the gospel, to contend for the faith, to stand up and say, look, this is right, that is wrong. I'm going to stand up for what's right. I want to share with you the good news of Jesus. I want you to know that you can be saved, that heaven can be your eternal home. Amen. Has anyone noticed in the last couple of years the pressure's really been turned up to dial down anyone who is in opposition? So I got this little crazy app on my phone called the Neighborhood Network, and I get on there for laughs and other things. And someone pointed out about this. We talked about this in Sunday school class. It's a vote to protect parental rights and a vote to stop late-term abortions and a vote to prevent taxpayer funding of abortions, something that I'm not for, abortions. I don't want my money paying for it, amen? But they don't really care. They're going to take and spend your money however they want. So you need to go vote yes. But someone put something with this reference on it, and I mean they lined up to crucify that person. There was like 70 comments, and all of them ridiculing that person who would think that that life was so important to defend. It's part of our culture now to put down, to sequester, to stop. That people don't want to hear what you have to say about religion, but that doesn't mean that we're going to stop saying it. That doesn't mean that they don't need to hear it. That just because they say, look, I don't want you to come to my door telling me about Jesus, doesn't mean that we can't look for some way to tell them about Jesus. Maybe it's in the open market. Maybe, you know, someplace, any place we have the opportunity, we need to share with people about Jesus Christ. He said, earnestly contend for the faith. Third point today, for the faith. The faith delivered is that body of truth that is essential to salvation by grace through faith. It's elsewhere called the doctrine of Christ. And we would hold these truths as fundamentals of the faith. Some of them are the belief in one God, the belief in a virgin birth, the belief in the deity of Christ. He was sinless. The belief in his perfect life. The belief in his vicarious death. The belief in his resurrection. The belief in preserved word of God. The belief in the Holy Spirit. The belief in salvation by grace. The belief in only one Savior. The belief in a literal heaven. And the belief in a literal hell or a lake of fire. These are the keys, if you would, of the faith. Those things that those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior would be in agreement about. These things are easily found in the Bible and should be such that we could easily defend them if we will just take the time to study, to memorize, to meditate upon the truth that we find in the Word of God. This faith cannot be man's opinion or his wisdom. It must be gained from the Word. The Word and the Word alone. We don't follow man's opinions. We don't follow man's ideas. We want to follow the Word of God. What does God say? What does God's Word say? Recently, I was on the ordination council, and one of the guys were quizzing this guy and asking him questions about what he believes, and he gave an answer, and one of the old preachers there spoke up, and he said, now, you know, I've always found it a little better when you're presenting the Word of God or the truth of the Word of God to say, thus saith the Lord. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what Brother Charles says or Brother Foster says. It matters what God says. So when we come that we're talking to people about the faith, well, say, God says in His Word this. Well, how are you going to know what God says? It's by studying, by reading, by memorizing, by meditating on the Word. Those things are vitally important. That we might know the truth, that we might know what our faith is, that we might be able to share it with this lost and dying world around us. We need to earnestly contend for the faith. Fourth thing is we need to deliver it to the saints, or it was delivered to the saints. It says, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Now, this is interesting when you think about it. So this faith that I'm to defend, it wasn't developed in my era. Brother Olson, it's not our peer group that developed this faith. It goes back. It goes back past Brother Moeller, who started this church, who's now in heaven. It goes past Brother Moeller back way back. It goes way back to the Bible. That's where it goes to. This faith is not something that man has come up with. This faith is what God has said about in His Word to develop for us that we might follow it. So Jude is encouraging those in his day not to be led astray, not to listen to the new whippersnapper, not to listen to the guy who just came out of school who barely knows how to tie his shoes, but instead to turn to the doctrine found in the Word of God and to hold on to it because it's been handed down from the saints before them. Does that mean that new is not good? Well, when it comes to religion, it does. I like new. I like leather. I love leather. I love the smell of leather. Get a new leather jacket. It smells so good. Buy my wife a new purse. I go, give me that thing for a minute. I love the smell of leather. Got a new Bible. The smell of leather. I just love the smell of leather. I like new leather, not moldy leather. Right? So there are some things it's good to have new, but when it comes to our faith, there is nothing new under the sun. It has been established and it's been handed down, and it's not ours to rewrite. It's not ours to redo. Let me just stop for a minute. I'm not the young guy I was 30 plus years ago. One day, church, you may face, if God tarries He's coming, you may face replacing me. Some of you will be very happy about that. When you go to replace me, you want to look for a guy who's still handling the faith that was handed down and 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 handed down handed down handed down handed down handed down. You don't want the guy that comes on the scene and says, yeah, you know, I know that, and I've studied that, but let me tell you, I got something new here. There's nothing new under the sun. I want to know someone who really believes the faith, who wants to hold the line, who wants to say, thus saith the word of God. These are the important things that have been established. It's not ours to move the guardrails. It's not ours to move these points. We are to follow them. You know why it makes it so much easier when you're the preacher and you know where you're going? So I'm getting to that point in life where I get in the car, pull out my phone, and I look for that app that all older people who do much traveling probably look for, and it's that map app. And I punch in where I'm going. Now, it's probably a place I've been many times, but I still punch it in because I want to make sure I don't get distracted, turn the wrong way. I'm now getting to where I get distracted real easy. My wife and I, we were headed someplace the other day, and we're at our turn. She goes, weren't you going to turn here? Oh, we were going to go, yeah, yesterday morning. We were going to come up to the church, and we're over here on Side Street, and I pull over in the wrong lane. She goes, aren't we going to the church? Yeah, we are. And just, I was just testing you, just trying to. We got a GPS that's been settled for years that we can just follow all the way. This isn't going to change. Bible says it's settled forever in heaven. Settled forever in heaven. I like that. I'm glad that the same salvation that saved my grandma, that saved my dad, that saved my brother that's in heaven, I'm glad it's the same salvation. I'm glad all throughout the Word of God it was the same salvation. I'm glad through the Word of God we know the truth of what our faith is and we hold it. And we should do so unashamedly as we live in these last days, that we might earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. And listen, if they come in tomorrow and they say, we're going to take your church away from you, we can meet out in someone's backyard, or we can meet out in some secluded place, and we can still have the faith. Amen. They'll never take our faith from us. What if they take your Bible, though? You know enough about the faith to continue in the faith? This earnestly contend back in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s wasn't that important, but I'm telling you, in 2022, it's becoming important. You need to know what you believe, why you believe it. And when you bring Joe Bozo in here to interview, to take my place, he needs to line up with him, or you just need to send him on down the road. Unless this whole place is going to change and go someplace opposite of what's been handed down before in the faith. I don't think it will happen, because I know you, and I know you love this word, and you follow this faith delivered to us. Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you. We thank you for the fact that you love us. What a wonderful thing to think about, the fact that God loves me. He loves me so much that Jesus died in my place. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You love us so much that you gave us a common salvation. It's not a tier group. It's not one race over another, not one class of people over another, but it's the same salvation for all mankind. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to give us the book, your word, to hold on to love, to cherish, and to grow thereby. To know what the faith is, to be able to search it out ourselves, not to rely upon a man or some church to tell us what it is, but we have the opportunity to take your word, study it, and know it ourselves. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would help us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. May we realize it's an honorable thing to do so. Then, Lord, if there'd be one here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, our prayer is that today they might come. Let's take a Bible and share with them from the Word of God how they can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Thank you for the time here this morning. Deal in our hearts as you would. We'll give you the honor and glory and praise for all that you do. We ask it in your blessed and most holy name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Have a moment of invitation. God's spoken to your heart. I'd encourage you to come, whatever your need is today. Brother Foster leads us in Just As I Am.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
so we are leaving to go to camp here just really quick. And so if you would be praying for the campers, be here at 1:30. Try to be loaded by 2. We have a devotional booklet in the back if you're interested in going through the New Testament in 90 days. You can look through that book, and if you're interested, we can order you one. I think they're right about 10, 11 bucks. Is that right, Brother Chuck? $9. So you can sign up for that if you're interested. We'll be starting that in August. We have a church cleaning list out. If you're interested in helping clean church, you can sign up for that. Work day on June the 18th. I encourage you to be here to help with that. June the 19th, we're going to have the Redeemed Trio from Heartland with us, and then we'll have outreach on July the 2nd. Brother Larry, would you mind coming up? Okay, yeah. While you're doing that, just have a spot right there, okay? Have a spot. I want to introduce the Romos to you. This young couple has been coming. Come on up, guys. Been coming for a while, and they come from a sister church here in town. Talk to the pastor. It's okay that they come over and become members here. And so all in favor of the Romos being members, a good hearty amen. Yeah. Amen. And if you guys will stay right here, I'm going to get this guy to pray, and we'll get out here, okay? All right, come on up here. Isn't he a handsome guy?
Yes, we are.
So this is my bookie. That's our nickname for each other. We've been friends forever. You prayed for Brother Larry years ago. He had a horrible motorcycle accident out in Colorado, almost died. God spared his life, which we are very thankful for. And I went and preached for him as he was in the recovery stages. And I'm just thankful for solid friends that just stand the line, that love the Lord. He's got a great church down in Wichita. If you're ever there and you're not here, you ought to look him up. It'd be a good church to be a part of and enjoy the service there. And his wife, Marcia, is here today, and she tries to keep him in line. And I'm telling you, it's a big job, okay? But I'm going to ask you to close this in word of prayer. You can say whatever nice things about the preacher you want to say.
Nice things. Well, thank you for taking really good care of my older brother. We get to do a lot of things together, and what a blessing that he is. And I certainly appreciate your church. You know, what a blessing that you've been to, not only here in this area, but all the way around the world in your missions endeavor. What a tremendous blessing that is. And we had an opportunity to come up and to do nothing. He said, would you do something? I said, no. Not even hand me a broom. Would you preach? No. Would you teach? No. I just want to sit. You know, preachers don't get to do that. And a lot of times you go someplace and you end up preaching or teaching. But, you know, also, Brother Kevin, I like the idea of the time. It's 11:37. You get out before the Methodists do, so that's always a great opportunity. So let's go ahead and pause for a word of prayer, if you would, please. God has been so good. He has been so marvelous. You know, I didn't get saved till I was 27 years old. I had the draft number 12 and spent a few years with Uncle Sam before I got saved. And nobody had to tell me that I was a sinner. But when that Baptist preacher showed me the Word of God, I saw exactly what I needed. And listen, this life is marvelous. God has never disappointed me. Think about that one. Has he ever disappointed you? He promises. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us permission to enter into your presence. We want to thank you for not only this church, and Father, we are standing on the shoulders of those who have contended for the faith for a long, long time. And Father, may we look around and Father, see that there are those who are waiting for us to not only contend, but to continue to do those things that you've called us to do. Because Father, we are living in a day and time in which that there is no other way that you have reaching the lost except by those who are already saved. And Father, those are us, and we just want to thank you for that opportunity. Father, I pray that you would give this church a great opportunity during this week of camp to be encouraged and strengthened, and that souls would be saved. Thank you for our time together. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.